1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, found on page 1219, we find these words. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is God's holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our study in the Apostles' Creed takes us to that statement concerning the communion of saints. What is the communion of saints? If you took the time to look back at the Heidelberg Catechism, you'll see an explanation of it there. That's quite helpful. There in the Catechism, it says that believers are members of Christ, a fellowship that we have with Christ and one another in the Christian church. That's a rather general definition. But that means that if you are saved by grace through faith, that the local church for you is not optional. If you're saved, you are incorporated into Jesus Christ and into his church. If you're saved, you're born again into the fellowship of God. And it's no more possible to be alive without enjoying life and a relationship to human family than it is to be outside of the Church of Jesus Christ, if you're a saint, that is a believer in Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle talks to us as a part of that greater body of Jesus Christ in this passage in 1 Corinthians, particularly here in the 12th chapter. He speaks to us about our community and communion of saints, what we are and what we are to be to one another. And that we are to be, for the sake of Jesus Christ, duty-bound to benefit one another by our relationship with each other. Because given the power of the Holy Spirit that has brought us into the body of Jesus Christ, we are a part of that body which functions for the glory of God. We are a part of that body which is now the church of Jesus Christ, spread throughout the whole earth. And we are to believe in him, we are to walk with him, we are to fellowship with him, and we are not to live, as some do, in some cold doctrinal adherence, and to live with him outside of the body of Christ, but we are to live within the body of Christ in a way that exercises what Paul speaks of here in this passage and throughout the scripture, the communion of the saints. What is that communion? What is that benefit? What is the benefit that we have as a part of the body of Jesus Christ? Paul addresses that in this passage. And what I'd like you to see is that it really falls in two parts in this passage that we have read together. The first part talks about what God has done in terms of the gifts that he's given to people. But then the second part is the part that we want to look at more carefully. And that second part is the obligation of Christians in the fellowship of the church to use their gifts for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the benefit of the people of God in the church of Jesus Christ. We see beginning in verse 12 of the glory of Christ and that analogy that he gives us of what we are. Just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, there are a lot of people in the church, a lot of different people, older people, younger people, smarter people, people not as smart as the smartest people, all kinds of different people. But we're all one body, one church, one fellowship of believers in Christ Jesus. And that physical body of, or that church, that body of Christ, is to be a body which follows what Christ was like and does what Christ requires us to do. Think for a moment of the physical body of Jesus Christ. For a moment, as we go back in the Apostles' Creed, we remember that he was born of the Virgin Mary, correct? Suffered under Pontius Pilate and so on. We remember that he came into this world, but he came to identify himself with the world, to manifest himself, to reveal himself to the world as the Savior of sinners. And then he came into this world to penetrate into the life of the people that he met, to accomplish his work here on earth. Jesus had a body of flesh and blood. To accomplish his work today, Jesus has a body that consists of human beings, flesh and blood, of people who belong to him, who are his body. And everywhere his body goes today is another way in which he continues his attack on Satan, and he will defeat him. And he came to this earth to do that when he came. He identified with his people. He penetrates, that is, he accomplishes work in this world. And by his body, he was separate and he was distinct from sin. Jesus did not come to merge with reality. That's pantheism. But he came to be clearly distinct from iniquity. And when you were born again and you were included in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been made a part of the body of Jesus Christ. You are a part of that body that has many members, but is one body born into the family of God. Doesn't matter what your background is or was, you are in Jesus Christ. And the same thing then can be said not only of Christ, but of his people. They are identified with this world. We live in this world in our flesh and blood. But unlike the world, we find our answer not as the world speaks of it, but as that answer is revealed to us in the scriptures of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell those that you meet and that you know and that you love, that their answer is not found in this world, but their answer is found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we identify with this world as Jesus identified with it, but we are to penetrate this world as his spiritual body going forth and dwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit to launch Jesus' attack on countless fronts. As his work continues, it continues through us, in us, because of us, because we are a part of that body of Jesus Christ. And just as that body made him distinct from the world, so too we are distinct from the world. In this sense, we have a different master. We belong body and soul to our living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't belong to this world. We belong to him. We come under a different standard, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. We come to this world with a standard and under the authority of Jesus, and we come distinctly different to this world as the body of Jesus Christ. And when we understand what that body is, that it's an identity and that it's a penetration and that it is this ministry that goes forth into the world, we then can look at the principles that we have within the body that are contained in this passage, and that forms the greater part of what this passage is all about. The first thing I want you to see is it's in verse 14. Let's look at that verse once again. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. And he goes on from that verse to speak of the differences of the body and yet the fact that they are one. There is no independence in the body of Jesus Christ. In the body of Christ, there is to be identity and penetration and distinction from sin, but there is no independence. That is, all are baptized, all are incorporated into how many bodies? One body. There is a people gathered in this place and throughout the world who are gathered and they get along with one another, but they get along with one another because they are brought together by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here, as Paul talks about it, he talks about a body, and he talks about it in words we can understand. He says, if the foot, at verse 15, should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. In other words, he's saying that would be absolute nonsense. The foot does not compare itself to the hand. The foot does not say, I'm not cunningly constructed. A member who thinks that there is no need for me in the body of Jesus Christ, or an ear doesn't say, I'm not as good as the eye, so there's no place for me in the body. The foot, the ear, the eye, the parts of the body do not act that way. That's perfect nonsense. That's what he's using here to describe the body that has a complete interdependence. There is no independence. No independence in the body of Jesus Christ. There is no place in the body for contempt of one another. There is no place in the body for looking down on others. Our role in the congregation is to be a role that reminds us that we belong body and soul to Jesus Christ by the power and the design of God. God has done it. We're His. And to look upon yourself as unimportant, unnecessary, is a sin against the wisdom and the grace of God. God is not saying, oh, there are some people that do work and there are some others that just sit there. No, he's saying that we all are a part, unitedly, one body of Jesus Christ. We have no way to remove ourselves from our God-given responsibilities in the body of Jesus Christ. And when you belong to the people of God, you have the life of Jesus Christ, the head, flowing in you. You have the promises of Scripture. It belongs to all of us, each and every one. No one is left out. You ought to be claiming those promises in Scripture, believing those promises, and you ought to remember that there is no independence. It belongs to each and every one of us. And so that's why we train together. We look at God's word together. We use our gifts together. We minister to one another. We use those gifts that God has given us to minister compassionately, lovingly, and in the Christ-like fashion of serving Him as a ministry in which we glorify Him. Let others minister to you. You need them. They need you. You know, when someone is sick, you will take a gift to their home, probably. You might bring some soup. You might bring something else. But if you have a need, do you say, oh, I'm just fine. No, thanks. Don't bother me. I'm good. I've got everything I need. What are you saying? You're saying that there's a dependence, not an independence, but there's this, I don't need your help. I'm just fine all by myself. What you're saying is that you don't believe in this passage that says there is one body. You need them. They need you. That was taught to me very carefully one time when my deacon approached me in seminary and he said, I need to ask you a question about your finances. I go, what do you mean, my finances? says, but before I do that, just let me remind you that the Lord's called me to be your deacon. And I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you if you need it as a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now tell me, do you have any needs? Well, I couldn't lie to him then. I had to tell him the truth. Yes, we did have a need. It's the only time the church ever ministered to me in that fashion while I was in seminary, and I'm very grateful for it. What did I learn? I learned that I needed the ministry of the church. I needed to be able to say, yes, I have a need, and thank you for ministering to me. There's no independence in the body of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, there is in the body no such thing as deadly mechanical uniformity. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Well, of course, he's talking here about the parts of the body. And every part differs. It differs in what we're able to do. It differs in what it's able to accomplish. And there's plenty for the body to do, but it has to work together. Not everyone in the body is equipped to go to the mission field. That may be the part of the body that doesn't have a voice, so to speak, isn't able to go. But every member has a voice of some kind. You can tell the love of Jesus Christ to others who come to you and to those that you meet about his love for sinners on the cross of Calvary. You don't have to go clear across the world or somewhere else to be a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. The invalid on his bed or her bed can be a member of the body of Jesus Christ and be a very powerful witness for the glory of Christ. That's why we have church membership, so people aren't forgotten, that ministers and elders must go over the list and know where his people are and know them so that they can pray for them and encourage them and enable them to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Because in the body, there's a use for every member. It's not some mechanical uniformity. But in the body of Jesus Christ, we belong to each other and we take up what God has given us. And we do it for the glory of Christ. The body needs everyone, and no one in that body is to be despised. That's the second thing. There are six. The third is in this body, there is no such thing as superiority. Look with me at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, see, he's continuing with the parts of the body, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. What's he saying here? Well, he's saying that there isn't a part of the body that can say, I have no need of you. There isn't a member of the church that anyone in the church can say, I have no need of you. That's contempt. That's to be eliminated from our lives. We're too busy amputating limbs from the body of Christ. We ought rather to be building community out of diversity and working together with the different people we have because we need each other. While the eye has an uncanny ability, it's got a lot of restrictions. What are some of the restrictions that there are for eyes? Well, main thing is it needs to be a part of the head. Because if it's not there, it's not going to work. The hand would be utterly unfit to be the organ that walks on hard pavement. Unless you were a young fellow that lived up the street from me who used to be able to walk on his hands for about a block every morning before school. It was one of those kids up the street that we had. But he could only do about a block. You know, you have to walk on your feet. Your hands are not working to be your things that make you walk. It's your feet. You need to have the parts of the body do what they're called to do. So there's no superiority. The pastor, the people, we're all one. We belong to each other. The congregation is given to the pastor for his spiritual benefit. The pastor is given to the congregation for their benefit. We're given to each other. Why? We're given to each other for the building of the body of Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians 4 is all about. You can see where Paul goes into that there if you take the time to look at it. We are given for the building of the body of Christ. Every piece, every part, eye, ear, hand, foot, needs to be working to build the body of Jesus Christ. And we need to build to be a stronger body. We need to build to be a stronger body by depending on the power of the Holy Spirit. The strong need the struggling, and the struggling need the strong. Is there someone around you that's in need of encouragement? You need them, and they need you. Don't look upon yourself as superior, but thank Jesus that he's given you someone to help, and there's someone to help you in your need. Jesus put you in the midst of his people, whose burdens are there for you to help them bear them. And part of his delight is to bear the burdens of his people, because it's a delight to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, according to the scripture. The Lord Jesus gives the church these things in spite of its sin and decay, so that the church of Jesus Christ might be able to grow. And you don't grow if you think that in the church there's a sense of superiority, that one is better than the other. So in the church there's no superiority. And then fourthly, there should be no division. No division. Our uncomely parts, he talks about, are less graceful. But we clothe them. Our graceful parts need not to be clothed. God has done that with his people. There's a beauty in those who are weighted down with the burdens of life, and they bear those burdens in the power of God. His grace is sufficient for me. Think of those that are going through trial at this very moment. What's going on in their lives? When they turn to Christ and find his grace to be sufficient for them, they find in him the grace that they need to live for the glory of Christ. We hear about the unity of the church today. There are so many organizations that are trying to sit down and say, all right, let's draw up this great big list of how we can be united together. Let's throw out all these doctrines. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that our unity is in Jesus Christ, and that in Jesus Christ, there's no division. We're one. There's a manifestation of the unity of the people of God, and it's found in two areas. Look at verse 24. He says this: our more presentable parts, they don't require it, he says, but then these words, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. God has said that in the body of Jesus Christ, in the church, in this congregation, there is to be no division, because we are to bear one another's burdens. We honor those who labor. We honor those who are a part of the church. We honor what they do. We honor what their position is, whether it's an official position or not, because we love them with the love that brings us to that place where we say, in Jesus Christ, every believer counts, and he should be held to the highest place of importance. Think of what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where there he speaks about those who need to be brought together in Jesus Christ. He continues this theme throughout most of his writings, this theme of being united together, no division, one in Jesus Christ. There is no division. And fifthly, there is no jealousy. If you skip down to verse 28, we didn't read it, but it's there. God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. There should be no jealousy. God has given all of these various ministries, all of these various avenues, all of these various things. But the underscoring factor is this: it is the work of God in his church Don't be jealous. Ask God what he wants you to do. Ask God what you can do, how you can minister, so that there is no jealousy for the work that others are doing. What is God's gift to you to serve others? Gifts are not given for status. Gifts are given so that those gifts may be exercised, worked out, and used for what purpose? For the encouragement of the body of Jesus Christ. So covet the gift so that you may use it to express the love of God in Jesus Christ for his people. And then sixthly, the body is to be a body in which there's no selfishness. We see that particularly in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. No selfishness, but for the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. The people of God will only touch the world in which they live with the power of the gospel when they see that they are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. The people of God will reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ when they see that God has given them this oneness, this power, this glory of being a part of the body of Christ, and the fact that every member, not just a few here and there, not just this one or that one that has a big ministry, every member of the body of Jesus Christ has a distinctive contribution to the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And each person grows in direct relation in his finding his place in the body. The ministry of Jesus through his body is carried out in the church that he has ordained in this world. And the way into that communion, into the church of Jesus Christ, is by the cross and the work of Jesus Christ thereon. When you come and trust that Jesus died for your sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, at that very moment you get this new life. You get this communion with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and fellowship with his people. You become a part of this glorious body of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And if you're not saved, you think of what that means. Think of it, a living relationship with Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's there. You can be enrolled in the army of the one who is always triumphant. He always conquers. He is Lord. You get a fellowship of a whole community of the family of God. And when you trust in him, you become a part of that whole family of God. And in that family, there should be no loneliness, no jealousy, no independence, but a fellowship of the communion of saints for those who are saved. If you're not with Christ today, come to Jesus. Join that fellowship and the people of God. There's nothing better for all time and for all eternity. Amen.